when Jacob's sons returned from Egypt, they told him that Joseph was still alive. Jacob at first could not believe them. But when he saw the wagon sent from Pharaoh, his spirit revived. Jacob saw the blessings of God, and his soul was refreshed. As he traveled down to Egypt, he stopped and bowed his face and thanked God for bringing all these things to pass. As we look into our lessons today, a few things we want to look at. We want to see the blessings and the goodness of God. First of all, we need to see them. We need to recognize them. Then we need to thank Him for them. Then we need to live a life of obedience to Him. Stop and thank the Lord. Following along in your lessons, as we reach chapter 46 of Genesis, we see that it had been a long, hard road for Jacob. The heartache he had known had been severe. He had lived with the thought that his precious son Joseph had been torn apart by wild beasts. Recently, he had been separated from all of his sons, specifically Simeon and Benjamin. Of course, Benjamin being that dear last son that he had from Rachel. And yet, because they needed food, they had to take him away. At this point in Jacob's life, none of his sons are with him. For many, many years, he had been without Joseph, and now none of his sons are with him. Genesis 45, in verse 1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all of them that stood about him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph, doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you. I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." Here Joseph revealing himself to his brothers. After a number of times they had come, they had bowed before him. Finally, as Joseph had seen hearts of repentance, he could no longer conceal himself from them, and he made himself known unto them. He said, "Is my father still alive? How's Dad? What's going on with Dad?" Of course, his father was still alive. He would then send them back with wagons and with supplies to bring the father to him. Following along in your lessons, Jacob here had no idea what was taking place in Egypt while his sons were gone to buy more food. Pharaoh had heard that Joseph's brethren had come, and he told Joseph to prepare wagons in a kingly fashion and send them back to Canaan to fetch his father. Pharaoh was going to give Jacob and his sons the best of the land of Egypt. When we think of Egypt, we think of that's a place that we don't want to go. That's a place that the Jews didn't want to go. But here at this point, God had a plan, and God was working his plan. God was going to take them down in Egypt and make of them a great nation. Pharaoh was going to give Jacob and his sons the best of the land, the best of the land. Notice carefully what happened in Genesis 46:1. On Jacob's way to Egypt, he stopped in Beersheba and offered sacrifices to God. Certainly, he was very eager to see Joseph, but he took time to stop and thank the Lord. He took time to stop and thank the Lord. Our gratitude to God, or our lack of it, reveals the place the Lord holds in our hearts. our gratitude towards God, or the lack of it, shows the place that God holds in our hearts. Genesis 45, verse 17. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto thy brethren, that do ye, lade your beast, and go and get you to the land of Canaan, and take your father and your household, and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do ye. Take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Also regard not your stuff, for the good of the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provisions for the way. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner, 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father's weight trip back. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, see that ye fall not out by the way. And they went up out of Egypt, and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father. And they told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. What a blessing. Here Jacob, sitting, waiting, days, wondering, with no sons with him, alone, wondering what's going on with the boys. What's going on with the boys? I hope, Lord, that things are going well with the travels. I hope that you're blessing them. What's going on? And finally, the boys come back. And they tell him, Dad, Joseph is still alive. He's in Egypt. And Dad's saying, what are you talking about? It's been many, 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 many years. What are you talking about? And then he looks up and he sees the provisions the king had sent. He sees the wagons there. And he realizes it's true. It's true. And his heart is revived. What a blessing that was for Jacob that day to see his boys and to see the blessings of God. We should see the blessings. Imagine the anguish that Jacob was under when his sons were all gone. He was left here in Hebron alone. Benjamin had gone down to Egypt. He thought about his boys and wondered what they were doing and when they would be home. Satan would have us only see the burdens and never see the blessings. If we don't be careful in our lives, the blessings tend to get covered up by the burdens. When we see someone, well, how you doing? Our tendency is to say, well, you know, my back's hurting. I'm going to the physical therapist. My shoulder, and they're working my arms down and all those things. But it should be the blessings of God that we share. That should be where our minds go, where our hearts go when people say, how's it going? Well, you know what the Lord did for me this week. Let me tell you what he did for me. And share the blessings. Share the blessings. We've all got aches and pains. Hopefully mine are going to be gone in the next 6 to 8 weeks. But we've all got them. But the blessings of God, that's what we've got to focus on. It's what we've got to focus on. Because if we don't be careful, the burdens will outweigh the blessings if we don't give it the proper attention. The blessings of God. Following along in your lesson, suddenly he saw them coming. They told him that Joseph was yet alive, but he had trouble believing it. Then he saw the wagons coming in a kingly fashion. And they confirmed that the story was true. The Bible says that when he saw the wagons, his spirit revived. He recognized the hand of God and saw the blessings. We need to see the blessings. Here Jacob saw the blessings of God. As we see the blessings, God does a work in our hearts. He refreshes us by His Spirit. We must see the blessings, and we must not allow the devil to blind us to the goodness of God. The goodness of God. Verse 28, and Israel said, "It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. I will go and see him before I die." What a wonderful, gracious God, taking care of the needs of an old man. What a wonderful God we serve. We should thank our God. Genesis 46 and verse 1. And Israel took his journey with all that he had, and he came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father, Isaac. Jacob, I'm sure, very excited about seeing Joseph again. Load up, they start traveling, and they get to Beersheba. Beersheba, we've seen it before in the book of Genesis. This is where God's men come and they pray and they offer their lives and they offer sacrifices to the God of heaven. I'm sure Joseph or Jacob here was certainly eager to see Joseph, but he stopped and he took time to honor the Lord. He took time to thank the Lord. He took time to bless the Lord. We should thank our God for his blessings. We should thank our God for his blessings. The Bible says in Genesis 46:1 that Jacob offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. He thanked God. Beersheba is on the southern tip of the land of Canaan. From Hebron to Beersheba is about 25-30 miles. As they traveled toward Egypt, when they came to Beersheba, Jacob said, "Stop the wagons. I know we're excited about seeing Joseph and going to Egypt, but we must stop and thank the Lord. We must thank the Lord." Psalm 100 in verse 1, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." We need to bless the name of the Lord. God is good. God is good all the time. God is good not just when we're getting the things we want, but he's also good when we're getting the things that it doesn't seem like we want, but God has a purpose for them. God is good. God is good all the time. Before Jacob left Canaan and started into the desert on the way to Egypt, he got out of the wagon and got on his face and thanked God. Parents, thank God before your children. Thank God before your children. Praise God before your children. Praise God before the other people at work. They might not be really sure what's going on, but praise his name. Wherever you are, praise the name of the Lord. Psalm 105 in verse 2, the Bible says, "Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works." Talk of his wondrous works. When we walk by the way, when we sit in our houses, when we rise up, when we lie down, talk of the wondrous works of God. As we proclaim the goodness of God in our shops and wherever we work and whatever the peoples are that we interact with, it's an opportunity for them to see our God. No, maybe you can't take out your Bible and take them down the Romans road, but you proclaim a good God before them. The other day as we were walking out of work, it was a blessing. Man thinks that this earth is dependent on mankind to help it. And it is amazing. We poked a hole in the bottom of the ocean, and then we pumped billions of gallons of oil into the ocean, and we're going crazy. What are we going to do? We've destroyed this big body of water. And the body of water did what? It ate it. Mankind thought, "Oh man, I'm going to destroy the earth. Oh no, I'm going to destroy." Please, I said, you guys need to understand, this earth was made by a mighty creator. This thing isn't just here tipping, just barely ready to be destroyed, and we're going to destroy it. No, it was built by a great, big, huge, mighty God. And no human being is going to be able to destroy this earth. That is a very brash thought, that human being thinks he can destroy the earth that a mighty God has created. That is amazing. But I just took that opportunity and says, you guys don't understand. A great God created this thing. And a little bit of a hole poked in the bottom of the ocean isn't going to destroy it. We serve a great God. And I'm sure oil comes out of the bottom of the ocean all the time. I'm sure those little, what is it? Oh, thank you, Kelly. Now your face is red. It's about as red as your shirt. And the only way I say that is because mine does the same thing. And it's a blessing seeing somebody else's. Is that unkind? Kelly can take it. We serve a great God. He's a mighty God. We need to thank him. We need to bless his name. We need to proclaim it before a lost and dying world. We need to be thankful in front of our children, in front of those around us. We need to be thankful. Teach your children to be thankful. Teach your grandchildren to be thankful. Because in that they will be seeing the blessings of God. It'll help them to look and see it. We need to be thankful. Maybe we forget it. Maybe we need to write it down. Maybe we need to have a list of the blessings of God. As Pastor said that who was the guy that kept the journal with all the... George Mueller. Kept that journal, the goodness of God. Man alive, maybe we need to do that and hold that up before our children, before our grandchildren, before those around us. We serve a great God. We should obey the Lord. Genesis 46, verse 2. Genesis 46, verse 2. And God spake unto Israel in the vision of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. What a blessing. What a wonderful God. What a wonderful God. Here Jacob is hearing that his son's alive. He stops and thanks the Lord. And then he says at the end of verse 4, Jacob shall put his hands upon thine eyes. Joseph was going to take care of his father for the rest of his life. You're going to live with Joseph. You're going to live with him for the rest of your life. And Joseph is going to put his hands on your eyes. You're going to be with him till death. You're going to see him till death. You're going to die under his care. What a blessing. What a wonderful God. What a blessing. I tell you, Jacob's heart must have been jumping that day at the blessings of God. Not only is he alive, not only are you going to go to see him, you're going to be with him the rest of your life. He's going to take care of you. He's going to provide for you. You're going to lovingly be with him for the rest of your life. What a wonderful God. Verse 5, and Jacob arose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob their father and their little ones and their wives in the wagons, which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took their cattle and the goods which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and they came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him, his sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all the seed brought he with him to Egypt. God said, don't be afraid to go down in Egypt. I'm going to be with you there. And while you're there, I'm going to build of you a great nation. God was still working with the children of Israel, and he was still going to build a great nation that would glorify him. Notice what the Lord said to Jacob in Genesis 46, 2 and 4. God gave him courage. Verse 3, the beginning of verse 3, God gave him courage. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of you a great nation. Fear not to go down into Egypt. Beginning of verse 3. God gave him courage. Courage comes from faith in God. Courage comes from faith in God. God gave him assurance. The end of verse 3. For I would there make of thee a great nation. God gave him assurance. We do not have to live the Christian life alone. We have a great God that loves us, cares for us. God gave him assurance. Then God gave him direction. Verse 4. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. God gave him direction. Joseph shall put his hands upon thine eyes. The rest of your life you'll spend with Joseph. Joseph will take care of you. You guys will lovingly have the rest of your lives together. What a wonderful God. God told him to go down into Egypt, and God promised him to be with him there. If we know that God's blessing is on our lives, then we should obey him. We may be thankful to him, but we must also be obedient to him. If we are truly thankful for his blessings, it will make a difference in the way we live. If we're truly thankful. Lamentations 3:51 says that mine eyes affect my heart. What we see the goodness of God that affects our hearts, that affects the way we live. Lamentations 3:51. God desires for us to see the blessings so that we might have a grateful heart. He wants us to thank him and obey him. We serve a great, wonderful, mighty, loving God. God has a wonderful plan for each one of our lives to glorify him. He's not trying to hide that plan. It's not something that we have to look for really, really hard. It's simply a bended knee before his word, before the instruction booklet, and he'll show us his will for our lives. Take out your questions, if you would, and we'll go through them. Genesis 45, 17 to 20. What was Pharaoh's plan for Joseph's family? Kelly. Amen. Amen. Give them the good of the land. The good land, the goods of the land. Amen. Genesis 45, 26. What was Jacob's first response when he was told that Joseph was yet alive? What was his first response? He didn't believe it. I can't believe it. What do you mean he's alive? He hasn't been alive all these years. I thought he was dead. I thought he was torn up by animals. Okay, very good. Genesis 45, 27, 28. What did Jacob see that convinced him that Joseph was indeed alive? What did he see? So the wagons that the king had sent. These weren't just any old rickety old wagons, buddy. These were, you could see as these were coming that this was someone special. According to Genesis 46, 1, what did Jacob do in Beersheba? Okay, sacrifice unto God. They thanked the Lord and blessed the Lord there. Very good. Friday, in Genesis 46, 3, what did God instruct Jacob to do? Go to Egypt. Very good. You're going to go down into Egypt. And there I'm going to make of thee a great nation. What a blessing. It's interesting. God says, out of Egypt have I called my son. And Christ, of course, did have to, as a baby, go down in Egypt also. Genesis 46:4, what precious promise did God give Jacob concerning his son Joseph? What precious promise did God give to Jacob concerning his son Joseph? Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. That Joseph, his son, whom had in his mind not been alive before, now is alive. The Bible says he's going to put his hands upon your eyes. The rest of your lives, you guys are going to be together and until you die. And Joseph is going to lovingly take care of you until then. What a mighty, loving, gracious God we serve. Thank you for coming today. I hope you're finding these lessons to be a blessing. Our new series starts in 3 weeks. If you look around, you see folks that aren't coming. They might enjoy this class. It might be a blessing to them. Invite them. Let them know here in a couple of weeks we're starting a new series. Hebrews chapter 11, faith in God.